الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الرحمن الرحيم
مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Today, I will say some things with respect to the signs of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, which he has written about. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has clearly mentioned a fundamental point in this connection, with respect to the signs that were shown and are continuing and will continue to be shown. That the real purpose of these signs was that by virtue of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, for God the Almighty to make clear the truthfulness of Islam and to demonstrate the status of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam upon the world. While these signs, on the one hand, silence the detractors and opponents of Islam, there, on the other hand, they are also proof of the truthfulness of the promised Messiah alayhi salam for Muslims. For he indeed was that stalwart and champion of Allah the Almighty, who was commissioned and sent by God the Exalted for the rejuvenation of Islam. At this time, I shall present an extract from the promised Messiah alayhi salam's book, Barahine Ahmadiyyat. This demonstrates the spirit of the aforementioned aspects, the promised Messiah on whom BP says that this arrangement has been made so that those seekers of truth may be perfectly disclosed that all blessings and all light are intrinsically found in Islam. Further, so that the atheists or the godless people of this time, convincing proofs of Allah the Almighty can descend upon them, so that as a result their satanic nature is made evident to every fair-minded person. These people are inclined to darkness and are averse to light. They reject the high status and rank of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They use profane and abusive words regarding the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and cite unjust allegations and criticisms against this most eminent of all people. Born of the intrinsic evil and extreme lack of faith, they are unaware that he alone was the perfect man who came to this world. His light has been radiating and illuminating the world like rays from the sun, and it shall continue to illuminate the world for all times to come. Also, so that the glory and splendor of Islam is made evident through these truthful writings via the acknowledgement of the detractors themselves, and a way of proof and evidence is opened for any sincere seeker of the truth, and so that anyone who has any doubts can attain the truth. Another reason for writing down these visions and revelations is so that through this, the strength of faith of the believers can increase, so that their hearts can gain satisfaction and strengthen, so that they may have the perfect belief that the right path is Islam's alone. Now, there is only one prophet and one book under the heavens. That is to say, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, the Chosen One, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who is higher and more exalted than all other prophets. He is the most perfect of the messengers, he is the Khatamul Anbiya, the seal of all the prophets, and the best of all people. By following him, one can attain God the Almighty, and the veils of darkness are removed. And through this, the signs of true salvation are manifested in his very life. The book of the Holy Quran, which is a true and perfect guidance. Through this, knowledge and understanding of the divine are obtained, and the heart is purified from human impurities and weaknesses, and is delivered from ignorance, doubts, and misgivings, and he reaches to the status of Haqqul Yaqeen, of perfect certainty. Another reason for writing down these visions and revelations, and the testimonies of people of other religions, is so that for Muslims to be always equipped with strong arguments and proofs, so that it is always clear and evident to those people that when the wicked, godless, and black-hearted individuals who unjustly contend with Muslims are prevailed over, are dominated over, and are left silent for all times, and so that the poisonous wind of darkness and negligence which is found nowadays, that the seekers of truth of the time can be safeguarded and protected from it, and also that the future generations are protected from this poisonous wind. For in these revelations will be unclosed many such things which are destined to be unveiled in the future. Thus when this age passes by and a new world is shown for itself and the truths which are written in this book, these prophecies will be most beneficial for strengthening their faith, inshallah, God willing. This is a reference from Barahine Ahmadiyyat from its first four volumes. He mentioned the signs and revelations of the time. However, they were not only for that time. In fact, he said even future generations will preserve these and remember them. Many of the future prophecies will become evident in the future times. All the prophecies made by the promised Messiah alayhi salam were not made for himself, but in fact were made to prove the truthfulness of Islam. They were made to explain the status of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to us and to the world. It is astonishing upon those people who do not search for this spirit, but rather make criticisms. That what type of revelations did he make? In Urdu, in English, in Arabic, all together. But God cannot be constrained. It is up to God. He can make a revelation in whatever language he pleases. He may reveal one subject matter by way of revelation in many languages simultaneously if he so pleases. In fact, these revelations were made. The non-Ahmadis also testified to the truth of these prophecies being fulfilled, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's truthfulness became evident upon those non-Ahmadis. For people with spiritual understanding and discernment, Barahine Ahmadiyyat continues to be a sign even today. The subject matter entailed and also the signs within become a means of one's faith being strengthened. And as the promised Messiah on whom be peace has said, future generations will witness the truthfulness of these things, and the faith is most certainly strengthened by this, that this book and the promised Messiah alayhi salam's other books are becoming means of guidance. In fact, they are a sign. However, those whose hearts are blind cannot understand, discern, or come to know anything of his signs, knowledge, and spiritual understanding. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, made prophecies having been informed by God. Mentioning this, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, mentions in his book, Kishti-e-Nu, those things of the unseen that God the Almighty has disclosed to me and which were fulfilled on time are not less than 10,000 in number. However, only 150 of these have been recorded in the book Nuzulul Musi, which is under publication along with proofs and witness accounts, by way of sample. None of my prophecies has been left unfulfilled, or at least one of its two parts has not been left unfulfilled. If a person spends his entire life looking for any such prophecy that I may have uttered and dies in the process, he will not find one about which he could say that it has been unfulfilled, though he may say whatever he wants out of impudence or lack of knowledge. I say with conviction that thousands of most evident prophecies of mine have been clearly fulfilled, and hundreds of thousands of people witness this. If an example of this is looked for in the previous prophets, then it cannot be found with the exception of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Had my opponents resolved the matter based on this, their eyes would have been opened long ago. I am prepared to give them an immense reward if they could find an equal example of these prophecies. What else can we say but to relate this to their wickedness, mischievousness, and thinking ill of others, when it is merely said out of foolishness that such and such prophecy has not been fulfilled? If they had discussed in any meeting or gathering to investigate this matter, they would have to retract their statement, or they would have to admit themselves as shameless. It is not a small issue for thousands upon thousands of prophecies to be fulfilled right before their eyes with exactness, and thousands of living witnesses to them to be present. It is as if seeing the glorious God. Has in any time anyone observed, apart from the time of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that thousands upon thousands of prophecies were made, and they were all fulfilled, as clear as a day, and thousands of people bore witness to their fulfillment? I know with conviction that as God Almighty is manifesting himself in this age, and is coming near, and is disclosing hundreds of matters of the unseen to his servants, very few examples of this time can be found in the times of the past. Regarding the prophecies mentioned in Nuzul al-Masih, I have presented a few by way of example. The promised Messiah on whom EP said, look, in Barahine Ahmadiyyat, on page 517, the translation is as follows. O Ahmad, mercy flows from your lips. We have bestowed upon you deeper spiritual wisdom. So it is evident that my words showed that miracle that none could compete with them. After this revelation, I published more than 20 books and pamphlets in eloquent Arabic, but no one could contend with them. God the Almighty took away both their power of speech and heart from them and gave them to me instead. Mentioning another prophecy, the promised Messiah on whom be peace has said, look, in Barahine Ahmadiyyat, page 518-19, the translation is, they say, where did you obtain this rank and status? This is a deception and fraud. We will not believe in you unless we see God ourselves. These people will not accept anything apart from a sign of death. So say to them that death, that is the plague, is also approaching. Therefore, do not be haste with me. This prophecy was made 20 years before the outbreak of the plague. Azur says that this was made 20 years before the plague, and the plague continued for many years, and hundreds of thousands of people died. Then the promised Messiah on whom be peace says regarding a prophecy. Look, in Barahine Ahmadiyyat, page 242, the company of the Suffa. How will you know what the company of the Suffa is? You will see their eyes running with tears. They will send down blessings and salutations upon you and will supplicate, our Lord, we have heard a crier calling people to the faith. He would say that reform your faith and strengthen it. And he would call people towards Allah the Almighty and remove them from shirk. He was a lamp that spread light on the earth. At the time when this prophecy was published in Barahini Ahmadiyya, there was neither a Sufa nor the people of the Sufa. Hazur says that the books of Barahini Ahmadiyya were from the beginning of 1882. These are the revelations from there. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, later, when the sincere righteous people migrated to Qadian, the Sufa and the guest houses were made for them. What an extraordinary and astonishing revelation. These matters were disclosed at a time when no one could have even envisaged them, that a time would come when such sincere and righteous people would gather in Qadian and Sufa would be prepared for them. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, look, in Barahini Ahmadiyyat, page 240, the translation is, the opponents will intend to try to extinguish the light of God with the breasts of their mouths. That is to say, they will utilize a lot of cunning and deceit. However, God the Almighty will perfect His light and complete it, although the disbelieving people will have revulsion towards it. This is a prophecy of the era when there was no opposition or enmity against this movement. Hazur says, in other words, there was no opposition in existence at the time, yet a prophecy is being made that these opponents would be ended. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, 10 years after this prophecy, such enmity was fiercely shown that it became an upsurge. Allegations of disbelief were made, edicts of murder were recorded and published in hundreds of books and pamphlets. Almost all the Maulvis became detractors and opponents. They did not desist from making the most abasing of schemes to try and ruin me. However, the outcome was quite to the contrary, and this movement progressed in an extraordinary manner. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, look, in Barahini Ahmadiyyat, the translation is, although the people will not save you, that is, they will try to destroy you, but Allah the Almighty will produce the means to save you. God the Almighty will most certainly save you, although the others do not desire to save you. Observe what a powerful and glorious prophecy this is. The promise is made to save, made twice, and it has been clearly promised that people would try to destroy and finish you, and they would form all sorts of schemes and plots to ruin you. But Allah the Almighty would be right with you. He will destroy and shatter these schemes and will save you. Now think, what schemes were not hatched? All manners of schemes and ploys were made to try and ruin and destroy me. Murder cases were filed against me. Many efforts were made to defame me. Schemes were made to embroil me in tax matters. Edicts of kufr, disbelief, were written. However, God the Almighty caused all of them to fail. They did not succeed in any of their schemes of deception. So thus, God the Almighty had previously informed me a long time ago about the intense and fierce storm that followed after. Fear God and speak the honest truth. Is this not the knowledge of the unseen and divine succor? If one alleges that these prophecies of being safeguarded means nobody should inflict any suffering or pain, but they raise false litigations, use profane language, and cause loss due to the expense of court cases. The answer to this is that this ismat or defense or protection signifies that being saved from the great and huge tribulations and calamities which was the real objective of the enemy. You see, the Holy Prophet Muhammad was also promised to be defended and the ismat, although he sustained severe wounds in a battle of Uhud. And this occurred after the promise of ismat or protection was made. Similarly, Allah the Almighty said to Jesus, peace be upon him, Iskafafto bani Israila anka. In other words, and when I restrain the children of Israel from putting thee to death. Albeit, it is proven from what followed in the nation that the Jews imprisoned the Holy Messiah, Jesus peace be upon him, and placed him on the crucifix or the cross. But God the Almighty eventually or ultimately saved him. So thus this is what is meant by Iskafafto, as is meant by Wallahu Ya'simuka minan nas, and Allah will protect thee from men. So thus I presented these three or four examples. Similarly, the books of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam are also a sign. Regarding this, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, I especially observe the great might and glory of Allah the Almighty at the time when I write. Because when I write anything in Urdu or Arabic, I feel as if someone is educating and teaching me from within. My writing always, be it in Arabic, in Urdu, or Persian, is of two types. One is that quite easily, when the words and its meanings flow for me, before me as I write. Although I do not have to toil hard for this writing, these words and this writing is not beyond my mental capacity or capability. That is to say, that even if there was not an extraordinary blessing and grace of Allah the Almighty, it was still possible with the blessings of His general support, which is a nature of human ability. I could write these topics and subjects with little effort, but in a long time. Allah the Almighty knows what is true. The second type of my writing is what is in the extraordinary category. For example, when I write something in Arabic and the syntax or the subject needs certain words which I am not aware of. At such times, revelation of Allah the Almighty guides me. And the Holy Spirit puts those words into my heart like the revelation and makes me say them. At such times, I am not in control of those senses. For example, while writing Arabic, I needed an exact word for Bisyariya Ayal, a large number of family members. I did not know it, and the subject and the syntax was dependent on it. Immediately, in my heart, the word, like a revelation, Zafaf, was entered. This precisely means Bisyariya Ayal, a large number of family members. Or, for example, while writing, I required a word which means remaining silent despite being in anger and indignant. But I was not aware of the word. Instantly, I had the revelation, Wujum, was revealed to me. It is in the same with Arabic phrases. While writing in Arabic, hundreds of structured phrases are revealed to me, like Mutlu revelation. Or what happens is that an angel writes to me the phrases on a piece of paper. Some of these are Quranic verses or similar to them, with a little variation. Sometimes it is realized after a while that such and such Arabic phrase that was revealed from God the Almighty is contained in such and such book. As God the Almighty is master of all, He also has the power or choice to reveal something to me from a fine phrase from a book or an eloquent couplet from a poetic collection. This was regarding the Arabic language, but it is even more extraordinary and amazing that I have certain revelations in languages that I have no familiarity with, like English, Sanskrit, or Hebrew. Just as some of it is written in Barahini Ahmadiyya by way of example. I swear by that Allah the Almighty, in whose hands my life are in, that this is the way of Allah with me. And this is amongst one of the types of signs given to me. Matters of the unseen are revealed to me in various forms, and my Allah the Almighty does not care at all. If any word which is given to me as a revelation is written in Arabic, English, or a Sanskrit book, because it is for the unseen for me. Just as Allah the Almighty has placed many stories of the Torah in the Holy Quran and included them in matters of the unseen, because those stories were unknown to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although they were known to the Jews. This is the secret behind me calling on the world to contend with me in commentaries of miraculous and eloquent Arabic. Otherwise, what rank or status does man have? And what is the significance of the son of Adam to arrogantly and proudly call on the world to contend with him? Now, in terms of the examples of the effect that this has had from the Arabic books of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, there are countless examples, and I will present just a few. At that time, no one came forward to contend with his Arabic. Today, how have the Arabs reacted or expressed to this? A lady from Palestine says, under the common thinking of the people, I firmly believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, was alive in the heavens. And in the latter days, he would descend from there. He would revive Islam with the use of the force of the sword. And he would forcibly make people enter into Islam through the force of the sword. I waited for such a day with great eagerness. Then I was introduced to the Jamaat through my brother-in-law. He would not only discuss the Jamaat with me from time to time, but he also gave me the Arabic books of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, and also literature, and he would send this to me from time to time. I found peerless and priceless pearls. I had never found such knowledgeable education in my life. The eloquent Arabic writings were like gems of spiritual knowledge, which was something completely new for me. Through such valuable knowledge and writings, it can initiate man's connection with God the Almighty. After acquiring full satisfaction, I took the bet, the initiation into the community. Then there is an Ijaz Sahib from Algeria who writes, I was completely disappointed with the erroneous commentaries and the current teachings on Islam. I had become completely frustrated. Listening to the commentaries of these scholars, I thought, could this really be the word of God? Then through an Ahmadi friend from Jordan, I was introduced to the writings of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, the founder of the Ahmadi Muslim community. Before reading the commentary of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, I would offer nawafil and pray that Allah the Almighty guide me to the right path. As I would read this, my heart was continuously opened. And as I read the writings, my heart completely opened up. And the power of the writing caused me to physically tremble in awe. And I was convinced that these are not the writings of any man, but in fact, these are the writings of God. There is a Faraz Sahib from Abu Dhabi who says that whatever books of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam I could obtain, after studying it, and further after watching the MTA programs regularly of Hawar al-Mubashir, I came to know of the Jamaat doctrines. Previously, due to ignorance and my previous condition, I immediately showed a negative reaction. However, when I studied the Quranic verses and the Hadith, my heart began to be satisfied. Now there were two paths before me. One, I can continuously wait for the bodily descent of Jesus, Son of Mary, from the heavens, and then also for the Dajjal, for the Antichrist, some descriptions of which should only belong to Allah the Almighty, like for example raising the people from the dead, etc. Then the stories of the jinn, etc., and also the doctrine of the abrogation of the verses of the Holy Quran. Or I could accept Hadrat Ahmad as the Imam Mahdi and the Promised Messiah, who has purified these commentaries of the Holy Quran from their wrong notions, and has presented the beautiful face of Islam, and he has also defended the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, in any case, I supplicated to Allah the Almighty profusely for help, for God to guide me to the path of His truth and also the path of His pleasure. Subsequently, I felt a heartfelt inclination towards the Promised Messiah and the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. Then he says that I have studied the law. When I read the Promised Messiah alayhi salam's poetry in delight and praise of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my body began to shake in trouble and my eyes began to shed tears. I said loudly, no liar could ever write such poetry, and how could a liar, a slanderer, have such sentiments of love for the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And then for a non-Arab to express such eloquent and strong Arabic was not possible without the help of God the Almighty. Then there is an Abbas Sahib who is an Arab who lives in Italy, says that despite the foul language and profanities of the Maulvis, I remain engrossed with MTA Al-Arabiya. Once I was watching Al-Hivar, in the break in between the program, the Arabic Qasida of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam was coming. Whilst listening to the Qasida, I was also observing the photo and the picture of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, until spontaneously I said aloud the words, but I swear by God, a liar could never say these things. This person is most definitely one sent from God. These words could never be used by a slanderer of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and God the Almighty. Then there is a Khalid Sahib who is from Morocco who writes, "Then after being introduced to Ahmadiyyat, I was also amazed and astonished that the Imam Mahdi had come and gone, yet we are only hearing about him now. After reflecting and pondering, I supplicated to Allah the Almighty for guidance. I also started studying about the Jamaat on the Arab website. The first book I read was the Arabic translation of the philosophy of the teachings of Islam. I read this on numerous occasions. Reading in this about justice, equity, compassion and sacrifice put my soul into a trance-like state. After this, I read At-Tabligh and also other books. In these books, there was such a huge treasure of knowledge, facts and spiritual insight that often these words would come onto my lips that I have found a whole treasure. There is a Umada Sahib regarding whom Hani Tahir Sahib writes that he asked some questions regarding the promised Messiah alayhi salam being Maryam, which he read about on our website, and about the soul being infused within. So he was contacted, and some literature and also some of the extracts of the promised Messiah alayhi salam were sent to him, through which he was greatly affected and he learned the truth. He writes that the book of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, At-Tabligh, opened my heart. And I gained astonishing happiness that even in this age, I had the opportunity to read the illuminating words of a prophet, and I was regretful of my previous doubts and misgivings. There is a person called Adami Sahib from Yemen who writes that as a journalist and as a researcher, I was enthusiastic to learn the truth. Subsequently, I read the books of the opponents of the Jamaat. I read from the slanderous words until I reached the edicts of disbelief. After further study, I reached the conclusion that these were these old, incorrect and erroneous allegations and nothing else. On the other hand, I found the strong and eloquent Arabic of the promised Messiah like miracles. This was also a divine miracle that the Imam Mahdi was raised from the progeny of the Persian descent. It was not necessary for the Mahdi only to be raised amongst the Arabs, because the guidance is not limited to the Arabs. What is the fault of the other people of the world? One meaning of becoming poor in the latter days of Islam, in my opinion, is that in the revival of Islam, this will begin from a non-Arab country. After reading the books of the promised Messiah, I reached the conclusion that he once again presented the true image of Islam that people had forgotten or had corrupted. Islam is the name of peace and harmony. However, Muslims are fighting and killing each other. Some are waiting for the bloody Mahdi, others await for him to exit from a cave. However, it is only the Jamaat Ahmadiyya who accept the true Mahdi and is following him. Then there is a person from Iran called Hayat Sahib, who says that I was born and brought up in a Shia family. From the beginning, I was inclined towards religion. I studied various TV programs and books, but the manner in which Islam was being presented, I was not satisfied. I used to think that the manner in which Islam is being depicted, there must be some weaknesses or shortcomings, because the Quran says that scores of people enter Islam. But nowadays, the majority are devoid of the essence of Islam. From this, I was convinced that there was a need to correct this message that people were giving. He says, one day, one of my friends called me to his house. He introduced me to MTA. After this, I watched the program Hawar al-Babashir and other programs. Through the in-depth discussion regarding various issues and the commentary of the Holy Quran, I became greatly impacted. It was the first time on any channel that I had heard an intellectual discussion regarding Islam, and that I heard strong and firm arguments in response to the questions that were asked. On the other side, the strange thing was, that is, the non-Ahmadi scholars do invite the Shia scholars, but in terms of the Jamaat Ahmadiyya, they only raise edicts of disbelief, hurl verbal abuse, and they are satisfied with just this. because they cannot contend with the strong arguments possessed by the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. The Ahmadi people are imprisoned and killed, and through this I was convinced that the non-Ahmadis have nothing with them except to defame Islam. Whenever I watch MTA, my faith continuously strengthens. After learning about your belief of no verses of the Holy Quran being abrogated, I became convinced of your true love for Islam. When I heard that the Messiah and the Mahdi had came to prove the superiority of Islam over the religions and to respond to the allegations against Islam by writing Barahini Ahmadiyyat, so then I became certain of your enthusiasm of preaching. After reading the books of the Promised Messiah and the Khulafa, I was convinced that these people are no ordinary people. They were the leaders of Islam, and the world was in great need of their views. The expertise and aptitude of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam in Arabic and his challenge to other people gave a golden chance to the opponents to prove their superiority. However, they could not do so. Reflecting on all these proofs and arguments, I had no choice but to accept and believe in the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. After coming to learn of the truth of the Jamaat, I consider it my duty to carry out preaching. Hazur says there are countless such incidents. I have just presented a few, as I said. Then, with regards to these signs, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says in one place, I am that person upon whose hand hundreds of signs have been shown. Is there any such person living on the earth today who can outstrip me and outshine me in this respect? I call God as a witness, who is the master of my life, that so far more than 200,000 signs have been manifested in my favor, and perhaps 10,000 or more people have seen the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in dreams, and has given testimony in my favor. Moreover, sages of great renown and spiritually exalted persons who have very large numbers of followers numbering up to 400,000 have been directed in their visions that I have truly come from God the Almighty. Some of these died 30 years before my advent. As there is one person, Gulab Shah, who lived in the district of Ludhiana, and who had told Mia Karim Baksh of Jamalpur that Jesus, peace be upon him, had been born at Qadian and he would come to Ludhiana. Mian Karim Baksh was a righteous and sincere person of elderly age. He firmly believed in one God. He came to see me at Ludhiana and related to me this prophecy, for which the Maulvis greatly troubled him. But he paid no attention. He told me that Gulab Shah would say that Jesus, son of Mary, is not alive. He is dead. He shall never return to this world. Mirza Ghulam Ahmad is a Jesus for this Ummat. Under divine power and wisdom, has been created in the likeness of Jesus, and in the heaven he has been named Jesus. He says, O Karim Baksh, when the Jesus shall appear, you will see how bitterly the Maulvis will oppose him, but they will fail. He will be sent to this world to clear and embellish the disfigured and distorted commentaries of the Holy Quran, which he shall again present to the world in the original form. In this prophecy, the sage clearly pointed out that you would gain such an elderly age that you would see the Messiah. Hazur says that the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam guided some people in their dreams. In the time of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, I shall present some of the accounts of those who accepted the bet and afterwards also. Hazrat Mia Abdul Rashid Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that I took the bayt, the initiation inspired by my father, in a dream. I saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream. He was lying bed on a type of bedstead and he was extremely sick. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam is standing next to him as if one is looking after one who is ill. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stands up with the support of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam on his shoulders, and he begins to give a lecture in this condition. This was based on the truthfulness of the Promised Messiah on whom be peace. After this, I saw in the dream that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's health had recovered and his face had illuminated. Through this, I interpreted that now Islam was going to be revived through His Holiness, that is the promised Messiah alayhi salam. After this, I took the bit, the initiation. Then there is Abdul Sattar Sahib, son of Abdullah Sahib. He said, I question my father that we are unaware relating the concept of the death of Jesus, peace be upon him, only of Jesus being alive, because this is what we have constantly heard. Please explain this to us. My father related one of his dreams 7 or 8 months after his bait, that I saw at the edge of the river that there are two tents placed. One is of the promised Messiah and the other is of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. I enter the tent of the Holy Prophet ﷺ and ask, describe the saint who claims to be the Messiah and Mahdi. The Holy Prophet replied, he is very competent, very able. He said this pointing with his finger 3 times. Seeing this complete testimony, I had perfect conviction that the promised Messiah alayhi salam was truthful in his claim. There is no need for this concept of death and alive. We gained the faith and we took the bet. Then Sardar Karam Dad Sahib relates that before taking the bet of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, I saw him in a dream. I see a road upon which the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the promised Messiah alayhi salam are together walking along. I am coming from ahead of them. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses me through pointing his finger and says that this is from God. This is from God. In other words, the Holy Prophet said this thrice. When I went to Qadian in 1902, when there was a small mosque, and I took the bet, I found the promised Messiah alayhi salam in the same appearance I'd seen in a dream. Then we see in the current time of how the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam guides people. Muhammad bin Ahmed Sahib lives in Germany. He says that for a long period of time I was thinking of writing this. However, on many occasions I hesitated from doing so, because unless I feel I am in a special spiritual ambience and feel the pleasure of God, I do not sit down and write. At the current time, I am studying engineering in Germany, whereas I spent my youth in Saudi Arabia with my family, when I have never even heard of the name of Ahmadiyyat. In 2004 or 2005, in a dream, I was fortunate to meet the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the time, we were in a beautiful minar. The Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, his finger was pointing towards the moon. It is a full moon and which is right close to us. The light of the moon is spreading far and wide. In the middle is a minaret. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam points towards something which I was not previously familiar with. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam treats me with such kindness and affection which is beyond expression. Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left. The agony for the concern for the people of the world was clear from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face. Then I woke up. It felt as if I was elevated from the ground. After this, for several days, I barely spoke or met anyone. I did not understand this dream at all. After, my father told me in this regard, and I was astonished beyond bounds, because my father told me that he also saw the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream in which he met him. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in 1979, gave glad tidings of my birth, and had said that you will have a son born, who you should name Muhammad. My father told me this in 2007. I did not know about Ahmadiyyat until then. Then one of my younger brothers in Syria informed me about the Jamaat's website. There I studied the Jamaat's doctrines and commentaries. These were more or less those beliefs that we used to mention to our friends in childhood. For example, that the Dajjal, the Antichrist, means the current state of the Western countries, industrial revolution, attraction to materialism, and also those powers which promote Christianity. Then he writes to me that, believe me, that when reading the books of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, reading the deep spiritual insight and profound knowledge and truthful verities, I would cry and weep. Every word would melt my soul. This is such a treasure of the faith, which is impossible to explain. The dominance of the Jamaat's beliefs over others was also evident. Most certainly, the Jamaat which presents the true image of Islam, for example, to be devoid of the concept of abrogation of the verses of the Holy Quran, its intellectual commentary, the interpretation of Seerah Prophethood, and the truth of the Miraj and the Isra. It is only the Jamaat of the Promised Messiah which does this. Although it has partial dominance today, but in the near future, it will gain complete dominance, inshallah, God willing. A friend from Damascus, Rizwan Sahib, says that I studied mathematics in IT from Damascus University. After this, I began work in computer repairs. I would also teach the Holy Quran to various youngsters in the mosques. I had not studied religious knowledge from any religious institution, but through my self-study. After an incident, I began to endeavor to learn spiritual knowledge. The first dream or vision I saw, in that was a message for me, that the Holy Quran is the only treasure of spiritual knowledge and insight. Search for the remedies for all the problems in your life in it. When I reflected and meditated upon the Holy Quran, I was filled with knowledge and spirituality. One night I became terrified at the statement of Allah, الَّذِينَ ذَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يَحْسَنُونَ صُنْعًا. I prayed to Allah the Almighty to be guided to the straight path. At the time, two youngsters knocked on my door. They asked me about Qadianiyat. I accepted a book from them which was against Qadianiyat and would recite it to them. Suddenly, I had a strange realization within. I closed the book and said that it seems like I am making a huge mistake because I am explaining to them about such a community who I've never had the opportunity to speak to. In fact, what I am saying is hearsay. Then I was introduced to an Ahmadi named Badr Sahib. He gave me the book of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, the philosophy of the teachings of Islam. I did not put down this book until I had completed it. I felt that Islam is intrinsic and satiated within this person. He is not just imitating an Islam he has heard of. In fact, he has seen, practiced, and experienced the Islam. He is most certainly one near to God. What affected me most in this very knowledgeable book is divine revelation being continuous. 6 months previous, I saw a vision or a dream in which I am as if before Allah the Almighty. The light of Allah the Almighty is all around. And Allah the Almighty says, Ataitakul qaddara dar al-waqi. That is, I have given you that vest which can support you. I did not understand this, and out of shame, I did not ask this. In fact, what I said is, I hear and I obey. Upon this, I saw an angel who looked like a warrior and who had weapons on him. This angel said to me, say to your friend Basit, attach to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. After this, I read all the Arabic books of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, and benefited greatly. His words had a magic-like effect upon me. Thereafter, I did istikhara, and the verse was recited to me. Abdan min ibadina. أعطينا ورحمة من عندنا وعملناه من لدنا علم. Then on a second occasion, I met the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a dream. Upon me asking, he replied, "In order to be saved from the disorder and strife of the time, only the Promised Messiah alayhi salam is the only remedy and means of salvation." Then, after witnessing some signs, there are different people of Africa, amongst whom our missionary writes. Our circular missionary, Abdul Malik Sahib, along with two of his friends, went to Munsi, a town, for preaching. The youth of the town raised a great hue and cry in the place where preaching was taking place. They had to stop the preaching program. The next day, the people of the town were sitting down for their own program. Suddenly, there was a very strong wind. There was perhaps no possibility of rain. Suddenly, thick clouds appeared and a very strong storm started, and heavy rain also. The entire program was ruined. Upon this, the people of the town felt that this storm was a sign of God's wrath, which was as a result of stopping the preaching of the Ahmadis. Subsequently, 41 people accepted Ahmadiyyat. There is a report from Nigeria. There, in the Odulu village and around the surrounding area, preaching was taking place. There was fierce opposition. Then, a youngster of the village, Bashir, said that he had prayed to Allah the Almighty that if these Ahmadis are untrue, they should be placed into difficulty. If Ahmadis are true, then the opponent should be placed into tribulation by way of a sign. As a result, 5 days later, I saw that two people amongst the opponents became ill. They fell into great tribulation and died. So then I found that this Jama'at truly belonged to God. With sincerity, I became an Ahmadi. In Burkina Faso, there is a place or region called Dudgo. When in relation to preaching, I visited various villages. One village, when I reached, there were 100 members of ours there. They said to me that for a long while there has been no rain and we cannot harvest our crops. So I said that let us pray to God the Almighty. We should pray the prayer of Istisqa for seeking rain at 10 a.m. in the morning. Inform all the people of the village, youngsters, elders, women and children. When they informed the people, then the non-Ahmadi Muslims along with the Imam did not take part in the Istisqa prayer. In the prayer, I said by virtue of the Holy Prophet and the Promised Messiah, O God, quench the thirst of our land. Listen to our prayer and demonstrate this sign to the people of the village. Allah the Almighty listened to the prayers of the Ahmadi men, women, young and children. The same night there was heavy rain. We had left after praying to another village. When in the morning the people of the village came to give the message that with the grace of the Almighty Allah, in our village the first heavy rain had fallen, which was a great blessing of Allah the Almighty. For this sign, the non-Ahmadi Muslims and also the Christians were greatly affected who had seen us praying. As a result, 90 bayats took place. The Promised Messiah on whom be peace says, our Jama'at should have a true connection with God the Almighty. They should be grateful that Allah the Almighty has not left them. But in fact, hundreds of signs of His power and might have been made to strengthen their faith to the degree of certainty. May Allah the Almighty enable us to become those who form a true connection with God. Such a connection in which may Allah the Almighty show each and every single one of us His signs. May He increase and strengthen our faith. May we infuse this spirit into our next generations, that we should have a true connection with Allah the Almighty and be loyal members of the Jama'at, that we should come to respect being in the Bayt, the Pledge of Allegiance of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. May Allah the Almighty enable for the faith to continue and strengthen amongst our future generations. At this time, there is a tragic news. I will lead two funeral prayers after the Friday prayers. The first funeral is of respected Radiuddin Sahib, son of Muhammad Hussein Sahib. He was martyred on 8th February 2014. He had left his home to go to work. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was in Karachi and his wife and his nephew were with him. There was a strike on that day in Karachi. His wife had said that do not leave for work. However, even then, he was preparing to go to work. He had only left a little distance from his home when two unknown assailants on the motorcycle came to him and fired. One hit his neck, which injured his canals inside for breathing. His nephew was with him because he had gone home to alert of this. The wife immediately took him to the hospital. There the doctors made every possible effort, but Mr. Respected Radiuddin Sahib succumbed to his wounds and became a martyr. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Muhammad Hussein Mukhtar was his father. The relation of his forefathers, it was from Kashmir. two of the elders of this region had gone to Qadian and took the bet of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. When they returned, they carried out preaching. As a result, the paternal great-grandfather of the martyr, Mr. Fateh Ahmad Sahib, had taken the bet and was unable to enter into Ahmadiyyat. The grandfather of the martyr was Mr. Mukhtar Ahmad Sahib, whereas the father was Mr. Muhammad Hussein Mukhtar. After the creation of Pakistan, this family came to the district of Kotli. From 92, they resided in Karachi. After completing his education in FA, in a factory, he was working for 6 years. At the time of his martyrdom, he was 26 years old. He was an extremely compassionate and sincere person. He would meet everyone in a very devoted and friendly manner. He had great devotion to Khilafat. He had a lot of respect for the office holders and members of the Jamaat. He never would quarrel with anyone. After his martyrdom, his non-Ahmadi friends would said that he would never pain or suffer anyone, nor did he ever give anyone the opportunity to raise any complaint against him. He would repeatedly express a desire to be a martyr. A few days before his martyrdom, he saw in a dream that a boy is holding an axe and is suddenly attacking him. Through this, his eye opens. 2 days before his martyrdom, on 6 February, his wife saw in a dream that her martyred husband is getting married. Then she suddenly sees that there is a funeral in the home. She says, "I run and go to my parents' house, which was near, and see there is a funeral there." And my eyes opened. The mother of the martyred also saw a dream that the elder son, Muhammad Ahmad, comes to me and says that there is only 17 days left for you. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the martyr was a Musi. He would often give the duties in the mosque as the youngsters too. He was very active. His father, who is 80 years old, is very elderly. He is paralyzed for the last 4 years. He is also disabled. He was the only breadwinner of the family. His brother also had to leave them. After he left, they also started getting threats. Apart from his parents, Nusr Jameen Sahiba, his wife, is left behind, and also his children. Atiyatun Noor is 7 months old. In fact, they only have one daughter. They have brothers who also have daughters. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased. And may Allah the Almighty to the children, to the wife, and to the family give protection and give them solace and endurance. The second funeral is of Dr. Khalid Yusuf Sahib, who passed away on 7th February 2014 at the Fazl-e Umar Hospital, Rabwa, at the age of 46. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Dr. Sahib was a Musi. He has been buried in Beheshti Makbara. His father, Sayyid Muhammad Yusuf Sahib, was the Emir of the district of Nawabshah. He was martyred on 9 September 2008. The mother lives in Nawabshah. Allah the Almighty had blessed him with 3 daughters and 1 son, Amdu Shafi and Atiba Yusuf. Anayan Ahmed is the son of 9 years, and Iman Khalid, who is 5 years old. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased. May Allah the Almighty give patience and solace to the children and keep them in his protection. He had come from Nawabshah to here after his martyrdom. He was a very good doctor. He had done a lot of services for the poor there. But due to the dire circumstances in Nawabshah, he had come to Fazl-e Umar Hospital, Rabwa. He was a registrar of the ENT. And he would treat the patients most compassionately and excellently. The day he was admitted into the hospital, despite his illness, he saw 80 patients on that day. He had great passion to serve. May Allah the Almighty elevate his rank.
الحمد لله
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.